Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Luke chapter 1. We're going to read verses 39 through 56. I'm just going to go ahead and read the whole chunk this morning if you want to follow along in your Bible. And then we're just going to simply pull two pieces of truth out of this passage this morning. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 39. Now, before we read, so far we've seen Luke introduce us to John the Baptist's parents. We know that Elizabeth, John's mother, is pregnant with John, expecting John. She is beyond childbearing years, so that her pregnancy is a miracle from the Lord. And he is the one that will go before Jesus to tell the people that Jesus will soon be here. The Messiah is coming. And we know and have seen so far the angel Gabriel come to Mary and tell her that she will also be with child, though she is a virgin. And so we see all of this news packed into the first part of this chapter, and we see the continuation of the story in verse 39, where Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. Follow along with me. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah, in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has shown great strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in the remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Amen? So there is a lot we can pull out of this passage. We can see the role of the Holy Spirit all over Luke chapter 1, including in this passage here as the Holy Spirit fills Elizabeth. And the Holy Spirit, we know from earlier in chapter 1, has already filled the baby John in her womb. And we see evidence of that as he leaps for joy in the presence of Jesus. And so that and a host of other things we could pull out. But the first thing I want us to see this morning is this, that the joy of the Christian is found in the presence of Jesus. I want to say it one more time. The joy of the Christian is found in the presence of Jesus. And we see this clearly, crystal clear here in this passage. Look at verses 41 through 44. Now Mary, remember what's going on here. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is pregnant at this time, has gone to visit Elizabeth, the mother of John, who is a few months ahead of Mary in her pregnancy. So that both of them are pregnant. Mary has gone to visit her. And we see in verses 41 through 44 part of what happens. It says that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. That is, John leapt. He leaped inside the womb of his mother Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. So we see something happening here, and it's amazing for a number of reasons. But we see John inside of his mother's womb. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. So the moment Mary walks in the room, he recognizes Jesus. And it says in verse 44 that the baby, John, in Elizabeth's womb, leapt for joy. Now notice, John is not leaping inside of his mother's womb because of what Jesus has done. He's not leaping for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He is leaping simply because he is in the presence of Jesus. And look at Elizabeth's response. We see her joyful response. So we don't see the words joy describing her in the scriptures, but we see the actions of joy. In verse 42, it says, she exclaimed with a loud cry. She exclaims that Mary is blessed because she's the mother of Jesus. She exclaims that Jesus, the fruit of Mary's womb, is blessed. She exclaims the fact that she can't figure out why she is blessed to be visited by the mother of her Lord. She is joyful in her exclaiming here. So we see her joy. And notice that her joy isn't founded on what Jesus has done. It's founded on the fact that she is in the presence of her Lord Jesus. We also see joy in Mary. Look at verses 46 and 47. This is, you see it looks different than the other verses in chapter 1 because Mary is singing here. This is a song of praise. It's as if she comes together with Elizabeth and Elizabeth is overtaken by joy. The baby in her womb, John, is overtaken by joy. He is jumping in her womb. And then Mary breaks out into song. It's kind of like a scene from a musical here. But she sings. Look what she says. Verse 46, it says that Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed." So she magnifies the Lord. She worships God. She magnifies Jesus, the baby in her belly. She magnifies him and worships him. It says her spirit rejoices in God, her Savior. Simply because he has come. So John's joy was bound up in the fact that he was in the presence of Jesus. Elizabeth's joy was bound up in the fact that she was in the presence of Jesus. Mary's joy was bound up in the fact that she was in the presence of Jesus. And so I want to say this in light of these verses, that the Christmas season for the believer, for the Christian, for the Jesus follower, the Christmas season, in a way, should be kind of a reset button for our joy in our life. Yeah. It should be a reminder that our joy isn't found in fleeting circumstances, in health and in wealth, and even in family members. Though those are all can be sources of joy, and at times should be, they are not what our joy is founded upon. At least they should be. So the Christmas season, we find ourselves exploring over and over, year after year, and time after time within the Christmas season, the story of Jesus' birth. And right here, glaring at us, is our foundation for joy. And it's not in our circumstances. It's not even in what Jesus has done for us. It's in his very presence. So it should be a reset button for us. Perhaps this year has been hard for you, and you find this season and this time of the year excruciating because of the things that you have lost this year. Perhaps joy in your heart and in your mind is hard to come by. Be reminded and even encouraged this morning that your joy is not found in the things that you have lost or gained this year, but your joy as a Christian is found in the presence of Jesus. That even in the midst of tears over maybe loved ones you've lost or are losing currently, you can have joy in the presence of Jesus, just as John and Elizabeth and Mary did here in Luke chapter 1. That's something to sing about, isn't it?
Amen.
So let me ask you, what is your joy founded upon today? Maybe it's health, maybe it's wealth, maybe it's your family, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's the possibility of a relationship, maybe it's a job. But what is your joy founded upon today? My hope is that my joy is founded upon the presence of Jesus. My hope is that your joy is founded upon the presence of Jesus. And that joy won't go away. Praise God. I want us to take another look at Mary before we move on. I think it's important for us to kind of zoom in not only on her joy and her worship of the Lord and her rejoicing in the Lord, but it's important for us to zoom in on her circumstances in the midst of her worship and rejoicing. When you think about it, she is a young woman. Some might even say girl by our standards today. She's a teenager. She is with child, and the truth that she is telling everyone is that I'm a virgin, and the child I'm carrying is the Messiah. So let that play over in society for a moment. Mary, you're pregnant. Yes. Is it Joseph's? No. But you're engaged to Joseph? Yes. Whose is it? It's God's. What do you mean? Well, it's God's son, the Messiah that we've been waiting for, that the prophets, Isaiah, has told us about, that we are yearning to come. It's him. That's who's in me. I'm still a virgin. Right. So if we let Mary's circumstances play out in our minds here, which exactly, and even in verse 39 when it says, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. She was probably hurrying to see Elizabeth, one of the only people who would have believed her. Her circumstances were not easy. They would have been hard. If her joy was founded in her circumstances, her joy would have been fleeting. But it wasn't. It was founded in the presence of Jesus. And so she could still sing and rejoice, even though her circumstances were hard. It's a lesson for us to take note of today. Though we may be walking through some of the toughest days and the darkest days, we can still find joy as Christians because of the presence of Jesus, just as Mary did. That's why we sing, and we have already sung this morning, joy to the world, what? The Lord has come. We don't sing joy to the world. We are joyful for all that He has done. But first we sing simply, joy to the world, the Lord has come. In other words, He is with us. His presence is among us. Emmanuel, God is with us. We sing of His presence. Joy to the world. Joy for us who are a part of His children, who have placed faith in Jesus simply because the one who holds the world together, who is present at creation, who died on the cross, the one who did all those things is with us. Joy to the world. Joy to you and me. Joy. So the joy of the Christian is found, should be found, in the presence of Jesus. Where is your joy found today? The other thing I want us to see from these verses is this, that the praise of the Christian is fueled by the works of Jesus. Look at Mary's song here. I want to read it one more time, and then I just want us to look at why she praises God. She is rejoicing in God in His presence, but she goes on to praise Him for the things He has done. And we see first that Mary reflects on what God has done for her. Look at verses 48 and 49 as her song continues. She says, "For or because He has looked on the humble estate of His servant." She's talking about herself. "For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name." So Mary looks at her life, her life circumstances. She is not from a royal family. She is just a teenage Jewish girl. And she says that the Lord has looked on my humble estate and my life, and even my circumstances now that are very hard, and He has done great things for me. All generations will call me blessed because of what He has done. Notice that Mary's praise of the Lord God, of Jesus, is fueled by what He has done. She recognizes the things He's done. She recognizes His presence. That is where her joy is found. Then she goes on to praise Him because of what He has done. But then she keeps going. Look at verses 50. He says, "And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in the remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." So she reflects on what the Lord's done for her, and then she reflects on what the Lord has done for all of His people. Notice in verse 50, "His mercy is for those who fear Him." Verse 52, "He exalts," He lifts up those who lower themselves, those who humble themselves. In verse 53, "He fills those who are hungry." So those who are lowly estate, who in the world's eyes are at the bottom of the rung, like Mary, the Lord lifts up. That is what He has done. When we look at the story of His Word, that is what He's done throughout history. That is what He's doing today. He lifts up the humble. We'll look at more of what that looks like in a moment. But as He lifts up the humble, those who fear Him, He fills those who are hungry. Notice what else He's doing. Verse 51, He scatters the proud. Verse 52, He brings down the thrones of the mighty. Verse 53, He sends away empty those who are rich. So those in the world that the world sees as at the top of the rung, He humbles. We see this also throughout God's Word. We see this even in the ministry of Jesus. Him lifting up the poor and scattering the proud. We think of Jesus as being kind, and He was. He was even kind in His wrath towards the Pharisees and the religious elite who looked down upon Him and pronouncing woes against them, hoping to catch their attention, lead them to repentance. But notice the ones that were at the top of the rung were the ones He pronounced the woes against in the Gospels. And so we see it in Jesus' ministry, but we also see it today in the work of Jesus. Those who humble themselves before Jesus, who come to Him as beggars and recognize that He lived the life that they should have, that He died the death that they eternally deserve, and then He went on to raise from the dead on the third day, conquering sin and death, doing only what He could do. Those who humble themselves before Him, recognizing, believing that fact, and those who humble themselves as a beggar coming before Him and saying, "I can do nothing to fix my situation, but only you have and only you can save me. So please save me. Then and there is when that person finds salvation in Jesus. Then and there is what we see God lifting up the humble, feeding the hungry. And those who remain proud before God Almighty, who never come to the point of saying, Lord Jesus, you are the only one who can do anything for me for my eternity. I can't. I am completely incapable. I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I need your life, your death, your resurrection to save me. Those who never get to that point, we see these words echoed into eternity, that he scatters the crowd. But that is where we find the good news of Jesus. And that is where we find Mary looking to. Notice Mary's circumstances were hard, but she was focused on her eternal circumstances. Generations will call me blessed forever. Something we can take note of in regards to our praise as Christians is that our temporary circumstances are far outweighed by the Christian's eternal circumstances, which are far better. And so we can praise Jesus for his work. And our praise of Jesus can be fueled by his work on our behalf. We serve an awesome God, don't we? That he would do this on our behalf, that he would send his Son to be in our presence, to put on our flesh, to live the life we should have and die the death we should have. So the joy of the Christian is found in the presence of Jesus, and the praise of the Christian is fueled by the works of Jesus. And so often we find ourselves, our joy, dependent on our circumstances, and our praise also dependent on our circumstances, don't we? We tend to be silent when our circumstances are hard sometimes. But we shouldn't be. We should sing just as loudly when our days are dark and hard. This is why the believer who is battling cancer, the believer whose loved one is fading as a result of disease, the believer who's lost loved one or loved ones, whose life has been turned upside down by circumstances, the believer who has nothing to brag about in their life, whose estate is humble and lowly, who is viewed by the world as the bottom of the rung, can rise up as the sun rises in the darkest of days and open the Word of God and sit in the presence of Jesus in the midst of the hardest of days and still find joy. This is why the same believer can find joy in the presence of Jesus, can go and read and reflect on the works of Jesus in the Word of God, and then sing in the midst of tears the praises of Jesus. Because the believer's joy and the believer's praise are not bound up in circumstances here and now, but they are bound up in the presence and the work of Jesus. Praise God. This is why the believer, in a season that is hard for many people, may find it hard to be able to walk through this season, but can continue to have joy in the absence of family or in financial hardship in the midst of Christmas, because joy is found in their Savior and in his presence. Their praise is fueled by what he has done on their behalf. In our, as believers, our temporary circumstances are far outweighed by the glorious eternal circumstances that await us because of what Jesus has done. So, if you're here and you're a Christian, you have come to the point in your life where you have cried out to God for his mercy, You have believed in the life, death, and resurrection. You have asked Him to save you. Praise God. You know the presence of the Lord. But maybe this year or this month or this week, you've allowed circumstances to steal your joy. I want to invite you this morning as we sing the last song, just to stand in the presence of Jesus and sing. And know that your joy is found there. Maybe your circumstances have stifled your praise of Jesus. I want to invite you again to stand and to sing and reflect on what Jesus has done for you, because there is where we find the fuel for our praise in His works on our behalf. If you're here and you have yet to come to that point where you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you have yet to believe in His life, death, and resurrection, I'm guessing that one thing that you and I can agree on is the fact that joy, based on anything in this world, is fleeting. So I want to challenge you to examine the person of Jesus and examine the work of Jesus. And I just want to tell you that nowhere else and in no one else can unshakable joy be found than in Him. So I want to invite you to place your faith in Him. Can we stand and sing this morning, church? I want to invite you to stand. I'm going to pray as we sing this morning. I just want to ask you to follow the Holy Spirit and how He's leading you to respond. And sing and pray, or come forward and allow me to pray with and for you. I'd love the opportunity to do that. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for His presence, that He came. We thank You for how He came. We thank You for the people that surrounded His birth and the things that You show us in them in Your Word. We thank You that our joy is found in His presence, and that will never change. Nothing will ever shake that. God, we thank You that our praise is fueled by His work and not our circumstances. God, I pray that You would remind every believer in this room or within earshot of us today that of what Jesus has done on their behalf, and that we would be able to stand and sing loudly and gladly for what He has done and what You have done through Him on our behalf. God, I pray for those who may be here or may be listening that don't know You. God, I pray that You would do a work in their hearts, that they would come to faith in You, that they would believe in the person of Jesus, they would believe in His life, death, and resurrection, and they would trust Him and repent of their sin.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you, and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day. Come to